Get ready for cool shirts and merchandise. I don't know.
You were way too late. Oh, I really Woo! Hope Dylan just cuts that in the first place.
Oh, absolutely.
We asked our football coach once who his favorite rapper was, and he was like, "You ever heard of Uncle Cracker? That's my favorite rapper." I'm like, anyways, let's do this.
That's it. There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
Celebrating in the streets in Lubbock. Wow. Because Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome on, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with your boy, I'll be sure. No Dylan today. He's going to be producing this in the background, and I'll see how he produces that first part. But I do have Jeremy Gillen on with me. What's up, Jerm?
Woo! I'm a man between emotions, Albie. I'm not sure if I should be really excited. I'm not sure if I should still be hanging on to depression, but Texas Tech Sports will do that to you.
Texas Tech Sports will do that to you. That's the reason why as a sports fan, I died a long time ago, so I have no feeling, right? Like, nothing phases me at all. Like, people down in Houston and stuff like that, they've always tried to, like, get me or say some stuff about, like, you know, Texas Tech sucks, so we lose a game or something like that. And I'm like, I'm dead inside already, so what's the – there's nothing you can do to affect me, right? And especially after last Saturday's game in Stillwater – at Oklahoma State. We weren't able to talk about it over the weekend, so I want to talk about it now. Tech took a 3-point loss. Did you watch the game?
Yes, I unfortunately watched the entirety of the game.
Good, you did your homework. I think we literally have to watch the game. That's why we do these things, Jeremy. But what'd you think?
This one hurt the whole way through. It felt like there was multiple points where I was like, all right, Tech's kind of getting momentum back. We're going to do our thing. We're going to stop Oklahoma State, and we're going to, you know, trot ahead for however many points victory. I mean, none of us on the last pod were picking Oklahoma State to win big, or I'm sorry, Tech to win big. I think the max was 10 points, 12 points, but it never culminated into like a substantial run. Oklahoma State always had answers. We were seeing it crumble every time we were getting some points ahead. It was horrible to watch. Bad basketball.
Oh, definitely bad basketball. But I will say this. I did not predict that Tech was going to lose this game. But I did predict that it was going to be much, much tougher than we all thought it would be. Everybody thought that Tech would just, after blowing out TCU, that it's just going to be, we're just going to walk up in there and just, you know, beat them like they stole some because we're big, bad Texas Tech. And they're trash Oklahoma State. And the thing about it is like I said, the stadium was packed. It was full. Y'all were talking crap about Lykeely, and Lykeely had a good game. All right. Oklahoma State, I mean, they're a team that is always going to fight hard. Coach Boynton's a very good coach, and they're going to battle no matter what their record is. And that's what they did. Like I said, Lykeely played really well. Lauren Pretty played really well. And like we talked about it, we wanted Lindy Waters to have a bad game or have a good game because when he plays good, they lose. He had a terrible game, and look what happened.
Yep. And another person I wanted to look out for was Yorne, and Yorne hit no baskets.
You were so wrong, Jeremy. You were so wrong.
Oh, so wrong in so many ways.
See, you know Coach Beard listens to the podcast, so you know our whole focus is on an A, and then he goes goose eggs. And then it was like, well, Beard's on the sideline, like, damn it. Jeremy, Albie.
They just...
Dylan.
They steered me wrong.
That's exactly what happened. What else did go wrong in this game?
Where do you want to start? rebounds. We were out-muscled the entire game. They out-rebounded us. What is it?
Let me see. 37-22.
Yeah, that doesn't work. You had terrible rebounding. The free throws, our free throw percentage, god awful. I there's two things I want as a Texas Tech fan. One is good defense, and two is impeccable free throw percentage. And I got neither in this game. The free throws, awful. And so, oh, geez. So, bad basketball. Just come back to it.
So to be honest, I wasn't really too, I mean, the free throw shooting wasn't ideal, obviously. We shot 60% from the line. But it was, I think what more is we fouled a lot in this game. Oklahoma State had 38 free throws. I mean, and 14 of them came from Boone himself. You know, we fouled a lot in this game, and we gave Oklahoma State a lot of free points. And I know some Raider fans were talking about the refs and this, that, and the other. And look, it wasn't – this had more to do with Oklahoma State and saw we don't have a real big man. I mean, T.J. Holyfield's done a really good job of blocking shots, but he's still not a real big man. And they said, you know what? Let's drive on them. And that's what they were able to do. They were able to drive on us. Holyfield was in foul trouble for virtually the entire game. Only played 14 minutes. So when Holyfield's out, who becomes our big man? A guard. McCullough became our big man. And so I think that and became the difference. They just drove all the time. We had to foul. We went to the free throw line, got free points. And it was good. I mean, the game, honestly, Holyfield being out of this game for the majority of the game is what lost the game more than anything else. If Holyfield plays double the minutes, which is usually what he plays about, they only played 14 minutes in this game, he would have probably played at least 30 if he didn't get into foul trouble. We win the game if he's there. I can say that with full confidence. We only lost by three. We win the game if he's in the there. But the second he got into foul trouble early in the game, it became a fight from the get-go.
I mean, how often do you have to see a team make more baskets, both in the paint and beyond the arc? I mean, we scored five more baskets in the paint. We scored six baskets beyond the arc more than them. We had 10 threes in the game. And we still came up short 3 points. It's hard.
Well, inefficient Ramsey came back.
Difference.
Inefficient Ramsey
did.
Reared his ugly head again. Not a good, only shot 33% from the field. So definitely not a, you know, not a good shooting night from him. And usually when we have that, Kyler plays well, but Kyler was just meh in this game as well. I mean, nobody really played well except Kevin McCullough. He did play really well, and because we were able to, in the second half, what ended up happening on the offensive side of the ball, we were able to spread out more. Holyfield wasn't playing much, so we were basically playing with five guards the whole time, and we were able to spread the floor out more. And so that's kind of what helped us in that aspect. And that's one of the reasons why Anai didn't play as much in the second half, because where are you going to play him? You already got McGriff right out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what ended up happening, and it worked offensively and why we scored 41 points in the second half. But with that, Oklahoma State just said, we're driving every possession, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah, and another thing was that what was that guy's name? Jonathan Laurent became the guy for them towards the end with all those free throws. I mean, there was just it was one of those games where, and I feel like it always happens against Oklahoma State. It happened last year. Well, a lot of people who knew Lindy Waters was, I did not. I had no clue he was, and then he goes off and scores so many threes, and then towards the end of the game, they're like, oh, Jonathan Laurent, basket, Jonathan Laurent, up to the free throws. I'm like, who is this? It just Oklahoma State's always getting the opportunity to show up. And something I think, there was good commentary, couldn't remember from who at this point, but saying Texas Tech is becoming that team that other teams are bringing their A game all the time. And I love that. I did not love it this game because we weren't prepared, but I do like that.
I even don't think it's something as complex as that. I think it's just it's a weekend. It's a Saturday game in the Big 12. And a Saturday road game in the Big 12. Saturday road game in the Big 12, I don't care who you're playing. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You can get got. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, some people do believe that that loss was it. Was it? You know, that loss, man, dang it, might as well put Texas Tech on the bubble. Maybe put on the bubble. Probably not making the tournament. Let's just go ahead and get the stadium ready for an NIT appearance. That is the worst loss ever to happen. I mean, yeah, it's against a team that's above 500 and, you know, against a team that next year is going to be regularly ranked in the top 25 because of the recruiting class, against a coach we've talked about all year, such a really good coach, against a a player that that would be playing on our team if he had chosen us instead of Oklahoma State. I mean, yeah, everybody recognized that this is an okay team, but it doesn't matter. We're not making the tournament. And so that's what a lot I heard from Red Raider Nation. And then Wednesday happened, and we played a home game in the middle of the week against Kansas State, and all is good again. Texas Tech ended up winning that game 69-62. What do you think about this game, Jeremy?
This game, Oh man, this game made me feel the same way that that first game in Manhattan made me feel. Not excited. It was boring the whole way through. Boring, boring basketball. I mean, we played okay. We played enough to win, but I think we won because of our talent and because of Kansas State's, like, their consistency and self-destruction this year. Those two factors are pretty much the only reason that we won, because it did not seem like we wanted to close out at the end. That did not seem to be the... I was expecting for sure a larger bounce back after losing to Oklahoma State in the way that we did. I did not get that.
Nah, you know how you won. It was one play. One play is how you won.
What? The windmill.
The windmill. Oh, my God. Oh, my golly. Cartier Diarra. After a battle, a miscommunication, right, Ramsey ends up passing it back to Moretti, who's not really paying attention. Moretti's trying to go in for a cut. He times it a second too, Ramsey times the pass a second too late. It goes off the back of Moretti. Jara has a wide open dunk, man. He's been dunking all game. This is going to be his third dunk of the game. He's been showing the bounce, right? Goes up for a windmill. He just saw the dunk contest. He's like, oh, I got this. I can be Derrick Jones Jr. I can be Aaron Gordon, right? Comes with a nice little whim. And it was smooth, too. It was real smooth.
It looked good.
Until the time when the rim is. You see, it bounced off the rim. And with that, we got a fast break. And Davide Moretti's like, bet, cool. Three in your eye, three to the dome, timeout. Game was virtually over at that point.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was one of those, that was a great play.
Did he ever come back in the game, Jara? He sat for at least five. He never came back, right?
No, that was it. Weber had it with him for that day, and Diarra was like in his face. There was a moment earlier in the game where he and Weber were kind of yelling at each other, and I've never seen that before, really. To be honest,
and you know, y'all, if y'all listen to the pod, you know me, I'm all about fun. All right, do the fun thing. Do what is like whatever is more exciting is what I'm always for. I don't blame Bruce Weber. I don't blame Bruce Weber for benching him for the rest of the game. Like,
oh hell no!
Like, because you have
the chance to tie it up.
No, here's the thing: your team's not good. You're not going anywhere. Like a win here, like I mean, like you're probably gonna lose anyway, right? Because I mean that play, yeah. The game's already over. Probably gonna lose anyway. Like, there's much more benefit to benching him, letting everybody know there's nobody's against them above the rules. Yada yada yada. You know, so I mean, he was on the bench cheering his teammates on, so that's good. Teaching him a lesson. Blah, blah, blah. You're much better off doing that than saying, yeah, but he's been our best player tonight, so I need you to go out there and hoop some more. Because he was having a pretty decent game. Him and Snead were the only two players. Him and Gordon, I should say, were the only two players playing fairly well.
Yeah.
So he was having a pretty good game, but woo, buddy.
Well, he didn't just – well, let's be clear that he didn't just bench him to teach him a lesson. I mean, what did Weber do – after he called that timeout, I mean, vociferously walked down the court with the, you know, holding up the tee, and then the crowd is going wild, and he just, like, he walks out to the court and holds his hands up like, he deserves this. Please cheer more.
No, I know that look. That's the parent. That's that, you know, when, like, you get in really big trouble, you and your sibling gets in really big trouble, and your parent is like, praying to God, like, oh, child, give me this. Oh, God, give me the strength not to beat this child. Like, that's exactly what that was. God, give me the strength not to just absolutely beat down this kid right here. Oh, Jesus.
I thought that was so funny, walking out and just engaging the fans in that way. You don't see that very often. And it was fun.
So, but I mean, other than that, in this game, I actually disagree. I thought it was a good game, to be honest. I actually didn't think it was a good game. I mean, it was because K-State, I'll tell you this. I haven't watched many K-State games. I mean, I watch them whenever they're on ESPN, so I have not watched that many K-State games.
Yeah.
I haven't been on ESPN that much. But they've got some talent. Like, Xavier Sneed's been hooping for a while. Cartier Jarrett's been hooping as well. Like, they got some Sloan's a good, like, they got some talent on this team. They just can't play together to save their lives. Right. And so that's, but you saw that in the game on Wednesday. Like, you saw the talent. You saw the guys with the bounce. You saw the guys, you know, getting Snead had four steals in this game. And they played us tough because they have talent. I think there was one stat that they're like something like 2-8 in like five-point games this year. Like just a terrible number. Like they have the talent to compete with anybody. You know what I mean? They beat West Virginia this year. Like I forgot about that. They beat West Virginia this year. And actually, both times they played West Virginia, they played them tough. It's just they just cannot play together. Like they play when I watch them play, they play like a rec league team. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue. But I mean, they got the talent. It's all right there, you know. And so I thought it was an exciting game because of that. I think our opinions are different because I don't think we won this game because we were more talented, which we were. I mean, let's not be facetious. We were definitely more talented. But like, well, we also played together better. Right. We were moving the ball, especially in the game. We're moving the ball around. We're getting the open shot. The three-pointer finally started to fall at the end of the game as well. So I definitely think that we won this game because we're the better team. But I don't want to shortchange K-State. Their talent did flash at times.
That's true. And you make a lot of good points. I do want to say that I think the one thing that's disappointed me, and especially disappointed me about this game, is the lack of consistent intensity on defense. I think with about 6 minutes to go in the first half, we were holding them to about 30% from the field. And I was like, if we stay at 50, which we did, and we keep them at 30, like that's our bread and butter. That's what made Texas Tech so lethal last year, is just holding teams way below their average or just like stifling them. And within 6 minutes, they went from 30% up the way, all the way back to like to 50. And that's what made it a 2 or 3 point game right before the half. And I was like, you guys got to be kidding me. Like, you can't fall apart. You can't start lacking in your assignments towards the end here, especially in a half. Last thing you want to do is let an opponent go into the half with the momentum. Now, it didn't matter for Kansas State, but with a team like, who was it, Kentucky, hits that bogus half-court shot at the buzzer during the half, like that made the difference for them, I think, momentum-wise, to come out and play excited. But we had been playing really well up until that point, and it's just I need them, we all need them, to play a defense that is intense at the whole way through. You know? That's just what disappointed me about this game. Everything else, they played well. I mean, no one really, I guess no one from Tech besides Moretti had a really good game. Edwards had a good game.
Edwards was decent.
McCullough's effort. McCullough getting the first start. Let's point that out. Start. McCullough has his first career start. First
start. Like, those five guys played the whole game. I mean, we saw Clark a little bit. Why did Avery Benson play 7 minutes? Like, he was, oh my, I just get him off my TV screen. Why is Avery Benson playing? I think Clark, while he has his injury, is just not going to play that much. And then Terrence, same thing for Terrence Shannon. I think both of them are still dealing with injury issues. To be honest, I don't really like them playing, period. I would rather them both rest up.
We agreed on that a couple pods ago.
But those, but the starting five is the starting five. They played virtually the entire game. I'm glad they were. Holyfield. I will say this: Moretti again had probably his best game he's had in a while. He was definitely our leading scorer, and you felt it, right? Every three he made was felt, and that's something that's a little bit different than usually what you see from Moretti, when it's like you turn your computer, it's like, oh, Moretti got 12 points. Huh? Didn't remember those. You know, when you can feel his shots, it's always a good thing. But the Moretti Ramsey connection in this game, I think, was really good. Every time that K-State looked like they were getting back in the game, one of those two hit a tough shot or hit a big shot to help Tech maintain control. So I think that was really important. And what else is important is for nobody to touch the podcast dial. We got bills to pay, people. You've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. Welcome back to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. Before we get into some more of this, Jeremy, I got to tell you something that I just found out. You know who the number one team in football is right now?
What football are we talking?
College football.
All football.
College football. The number one team in college
Houston
football.
Defenders.
No, come on.
Okay.
The number one team in college football is the LSU Tigers. They just won the national championship.
Right.
Do you know the number one team in basketball? Men's basketball?
Baylor?
The Baylor Bears. They're the number one team in men's basketball. Hmm. Do you know who the number one team in baseball is?
Nope.
The Texas Tech Red Raiders are the number one team in the poll in baseball. First time since 1997. Your Red Raiders are the best team in the land.
Woo!
Yeah. We the best. We the best. It's awesome.
We're about to put up 30 on everybody.
On everybody. On everybody.
Dingers for days. Double D's, people.
We scored like 65 runs in the first weekend of the season. I mean, we're playing Northern Colorado and Houston Baptist. But it doesn't matter. Run rule and everybody. In baseball.
You pitch it, we bitch it. Oh,
that's,
man.
That's where you're going?
I'm a 40-year-old man trapped in a 27-year-old boy's body.
We ain't got to steal signs through that. You know what I'm saying? So that means we will definitely most likely win the Big 12, the nine-teamed Big 12 baseball conference. There would be 10 teams, but there is a team that does not have a baseball team. Do you know who that is?
Boo! It's the worst team in our conference. Second worst.
Iowa State does not have a baseball team, and they are who we're playing this Saturday. The Iowa State Cyclones in basketball. We got to travel to the middle of nowhere, America. We got to travel to a state that doesn't even know how to do a caucus. But yeah, the Iowa State Cyclones are hosting us. Initial thoughts for this game.
There's one team I would love to sweep for the year. It's Iowa State. I am surprised.
You just have this hate against Iowa State.
I came on to Viva wide-eyed and ready for everything, and I got slammed with enraged, drunk off a Keystone, or drunk off, what do they love? What is that up there? Natty, drunk off a natty, Iowa State fans, and I was like, I hate your guts, and it hasn't changed. It has not changed.
It's been like years now. It still hasn't changed.
No, nope.
Nope. They're nice people. I've met them.
I think, you know what? That's true. They everyone I've ever met is nice, but
nice.
The
they're
ones
just,
that I meet on the
passionate.
Internet are awful. Like
just,
most people on the internet.
Yeah, the internet's just the worst. They're nice people, but
maybe I just hate the internet.
I will say, but again, I do have to remind you, just like Oklahoma State game, that this game is going to be rocking. I don't care that they're 11-15. It's a Saturday game in Ames, Iowa. The stadium's going to be full. People keep thinking like this is like Frank Irwin Center, right? Where nobody shows up. This is actually a team that actually loves, or a school that actually loves their basketball team. So it'll be packed. It'll be a thing. But initial thoughts, give me a player from Iowa State that we really got to keep a close eye on.
One man by the name of Tyrese. Oh, wait.
You ain't playing, buddy boy.
I'm just playing.
Halliburton is not playing. So actually, let's talk about it. So their best player, their lottery pick, the entire team is not playing.
Yep.
What do you think about it?
Well, and the thing, I remember it was after the Oklahoma game, right? And we said, okay, what's Iowa? Oh, yeah, because Dylan and I made our picks and he picked the wrong team. But we thought, okay, how is Iowa State going to compensate now without Tyrese Halliburton, who leads them in a number of categories because, you know, excellent player. You know, how are they going to go? You know, it's Austin, whatever. But, like, what's it going to look like? And they went into Austin and smacked the Longhorns without their leading everything. 81-52. And I know it's like, oh, it's Texas. But, like, you had players that stepped up. Michael Jacobson scored 21. You got multiple near 20-point scorers. And again, it's Texas, but they responded very well, I think. And then even though, you know, then they had to go to Kansas, which is a death sentence for a team like that. And they tried their best, lost 91-71. But I think that Iowa State is a team that responded well to Halliburton not being in the rotation. And I think, like you saying, this game, you got to be on your guard because it's in Ames. Their fans are wild no matter their record. And I think that this is a team that's going to play well together the remainder of the season.
So one thing I will say is the game they did. So since Halliburton's been gone, Iowa State has played three games. One game they ended up losing by 19, Oklahoma. One, then they went at home and beat the crap out of Texas by 29. Then they went to Kansas and lost them by 20. So two road games, two blowouts. They get blown out twice. And then a home game, they win in a blowout. Now, I think – I will agree with you in the fact that I think that we should more so look at how they played against Texas, right? Because this is a team that's without their best player, and teams like this that are fairly young without their best player play better at home. And that was also – like Texas was on a weekend. So I think we should definitely look at that one. I think the difference is that Tech – in that Iowa State-Texas game, Iowa State was up by 9 at halftime. Texas gave up. Iowa State was up by 11 at halftime. Texas gave up. They were like, well, yep, that's it for us. And then just like Iowa State went on a small run to start the second half, and they were just, and it was over. It was over at that moment. They were like, oh, well, there's really no point in us playing anymore. I think that's really going to be the difference in this game. I do think Iowa State plays it tough. But, you know, Tech's not going to back down like the Longhorns are. I will say, one guy that we're going to have to look out for again because he had a trip. He balled out. He didn't have a triple-double, but he balled out in that game. Michael Jacobson. I mean, that's a big boy. Mm-hmm. He's a big boy from Iowa. All right? He should be playing football. He should be playing Iowa football. He should be playing Wisconsin football because the best football players, you know, they go to Wisconsin. But 6'9", 240. When they played Texas, he put up 21-13. And I could easily see him feasting on TJ Holiday or Kevin McCullough in this game. So I think he's a guy that I definitely look and say, "Ooh, got to keep an eye on him." Another player, Prentice Nixon, I think, is another guy to really keep your eye on. Another guy that played really well in that game. He's really struggled this year after having a really good last two seasons. But I think with Halliburton gone, if given a chance for him to really blossom, if you will.
Yeah, I can respect that. I think that, and I think Michael Jacobson might be the key for Iowa State this game because last game he was essential for them.
You're going to swagger jack your whole life? You're just going to take other people's picks? You're the worst.
No, I just wanted to affirm based on our last game that he did score 10 points, which is still above his average on the season, and that's because he's got, you know, the size and the height that they're going to try to exploit, because what does Texas Tech not do very well is rebound under the basket. So a lot of second chance points for Iowa State probably in this game. But Rasir Bolton, did you was that your second pick?
I said Prentice Nixon,
yeah. Bolton was look after Halliburton.
An original thought
right here on the Air Raid podcast. Stay tuned. If you want more original thoughts, please pay our Patreon. but Rasir Bolton is like the next best, just statistically, player point scorer for Iowa State behind Halliburton, and I expect him. He's been a good ball handler for them, and I say good. I'm putting air quotes on it just because Iowa State has. Yeah, but he's been their best ball handler for Iowa State. So it's good. The game needs to go through him, this one. And so I expect this is one of those games I think if we need to lock down on one person, it's going to be Bolton because he's going to be that swing guy that's going to help them open up lanes and get scoring opportunities.
You know what's interesting? So you're right. Bolton was their second leading scorer. He's averaging 14.6 points a game. But since Halliburton went out, he had 12 points against Kansas, 10 points against Texas, 6 points against Oklahoma. He hasn't had the balloon that you would think he would have had when Jordan went to retire, Scottie Pippen was an MVP candidate. You'd expect, you know, something of that happened with Bolton, and it ain't happened. You know, so now maybe this is the game that he blossoms out, but we typically do a really good job with perimeter defense. And I find it really tough to think that three-point shooter is just going to ball out. And that three-point shooter that we all know about is all of a sudden just going to shoot threes like nothing, right? So
Yeah.
But you know, it definitely could happen. It's definitely a guy that we're going to have to look out for. But again, I like Nixon. He's been good. One guy that neither of us have talked about, and another guy that I think could feast on our undersized team, Solomon Young, because the guy got bunnies. Guy can he can jump. And he hasn't really statistically hasn't had a great season, but he's a guy that is really good defensively, especially down low. I think he could give TJ, especially if he's the one guarding Holyfield, not Jacobson, which is what I would do. But he could give Holyfield problems. And, you know, I think he's definitely got to look out for at the very least when we're on offense.
Yeah, I can respect that. I think, yeah, man, it sucks. It sucks how easy it is to pinpoint Tech's like weakest point, and it's Holyfield when he doesn't play well. When like he decides to play.
Whoa! We are a Holyfield slander-free account.
No, and you're right. Holyfield's best. I'm washing my mouth out with soap right now.
Actually, if anything, last two games Holyfield hasn't played well. Didn't play bad, but hasn't really played well. And last two games we had a loss and we barely won. See, the key is Holyfield playing well.
The Holyfield.
We're playing fairly small right now, but my favorite basketball team ain't got a guy over 6'7". Okay. It's the wave, all right? It's the wave of the world now, okay? Small ball, baby. We're just the college version of the Pocket Rockets.
Oh, golly. Don't say that. We can't ostracize our big guys. Chewa needs love, too.
Hey, man, Big Russ's season is over, okay?
He hit his, what was that, 12 points that one game? Hey, Beard was like,
that was it.
That's 12 points for the rest of the season. I gave you a point a game. You're welcome.
Beard was like, all right, we off that. We're good now. We had a game where Beard would rather play all five starters for 30, 35 minutes than play Big Russ more than a minute. He played 1 minute against Oklahoma State, and Beard was like, nah, fam. Take a seat at the end of the bench.
This project will work. This will work.
He ain't been back
if we
since.
Force it.
I wish basketball had it like football, to where like you play a certain amount of games, we can redshirt you. Because this is basically Big Russ's redshirt season. I even played more games than I expected him to play in the offseason. So good for him, you know. But but at the same time, how much did Derek Culver play his freshman year? Not a lot.
That's true.
You know, So you gotta give Big Russ some time, but he ain't playing. You know me, I like Big Russ, but he ain't playing no more. We're good. We off that. We gotta prepare for the big stuff, okay? We got it. This Big Russ experiment gotta die, all right? This is the end of February.
Right.
We gotta prepare for March. We already know.
We gotta try to get past the first weekend.
You know what I'm saying? We already know who we got, like who's in the rotation. That's why it sickened me that Avery Benson got 7 minutes last game. Because Avery Benson better not be in no dang rotation.
Yeah, man. I respect that. Yeah. He's been fun early on. He's been the fun.
He was cute. He was cute. You know,
infallible from the corner, 3-point shooter. But
oh man,
yeah, it's not sustainable.
I'm believing that it's because of our injuries. You know what I'm saying? Like once we get Clark and Shannon back and all that other stuff, then we can actually, you know, are healthy, fully healthy, then we can actually get to a point where we're not relying on Avery Benson and Russell Tchoua, and maybe Clarence Nadelin. But yeah. Until then, we got to deal with one of those guys to play 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. 5 minutes for a boost.
5 minutes for a morale boost. Yeah, seriously. So, Jeremy, there was actually, surprisingly, the Big 12 conference decided to schedule some other games this weekend. I don't really know why, because, you know, there's only one game that anybody really cares about. But they did decide to, you know, go ahead and schedule these games. So I do want to get your predictions on these games, shall we? Before we do that, I didn't actually do a recap on the previous week's games because, you know, we don't care. But I do want to take some time and laugh at the Texas Longhorns. A hearty laugh. Did you see the pictures from that game?
Nope. Oh, well, like the stadium?
Of the stadium. Yeah, yeah.
I can see all the seats.
Dude, oh my god! And man, I don't know if I've said it on the pod or not. I have said it. I think probably on off pod that there's a good chance Shaka still comes back for another year because they just don't care enough. Now I think like that. Yo, that game. Now I'm like they might care a little bit. That's just embarrassing. That's more than I felt bad for him. That's embarrassing. And I do think that they would only get fire Shaka this year if they had somebody in mind. Like they knew that there was somebody they were gonna like pick. And now John Beilein just left the Cavs. That's perfect.
Yep.
You ask me. I mean that just makes sense. John Beilein's probably not gonna get a better job than that one. So I can't think of any other high profile jobs opening up other than that one. Like that of that stature anyway. Unless UCLA opens up. But yeah, I don't see anybody else getting that stature. John Beilein's proven. And he's going to be successful. That's one thing that's going to kind of suck about it because he's going to be successful. But that just makes sense.
Yeah. So,
all the 6'8" white guys in the state of Texas can rejoice because now they get to go to UT.
Corn Fed is back in style.
Yeah, Beilein loves his 6'7" to 6'9" white guys. Oh man, Beilein loves them. I didn't even know there were that many white guys playing basketball in the state of Michigan until Beilein got there. I had no idea, and then he got there, and then it was like, all right, it's like Ja'Cory, it's time for you to go, my guy.
All these children of the corn coming out of nowhere. Beilein puts the jersey on. Beilein's going to go.
The University of Texas is going to have a boost in the amount of players from Oklahoma that go to play there. Okay.
Yep.
So, enough about that trash team. And let's talk about that trash team. They're playing another trash team in Kansas State this weekend in Manhattan. That game ain't going to be as empty as it was for the Longhorns. But who you got?
Kansas State.
No hesitation.
Damn. Don't play this game. No hesitation.
Kansas State's 9-17.
And Texas?
15-11.
Okay. Fair. two different stories on those records, I think. But
well, Texas has lost 4 games in a row. K-State's lost 6 games in a row.
This is like an immovable object and an unstoppable force. This is great.
So you're still picking K-State, huh?
I'm still picking K-State, yeah.
Well, so last time we came, we had this pandemic and we didn't know who to pick because Texas was playing a terrible team on a Saturday. And we were like, well, both teams have lost a lot of games. So what do we pick? Last time that happened, Texas lost by 30 to Iowa State. So
Texas, right?
Nah. I was going to pick Texas. I really was going to pick Texas, but nah. They lost a 30. Lost by 30 to Iowa State, man. Like, what the hell? What's going on? Does Shaka even care anymore? Like, does he care anymore? No.
Collecting paychecks and checking out.
Man. But he'll get hired again pretty easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a great mid-major coach. I could see like a school, I don't know, Tulsa, Tulane, picking him up. And then he goes to like...
Hey, all right.
Go. What's funny? No, it's going to be funny. He's going to get picked up by like a mid-major. And with that mid-major, he's going to go further than Texas goes with their next coach. It's going to be hilarious.
Yep.
It'll be really funny. But yeah, man, I think K-State's pretty talented still. And Texas is just, they got problems. Yeah, they got problems for sure. Next up, we do have Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. The Bedlam, basketball Bedlam this weekend. It's actually a pretty expensive game. I mean, $26 tickets. You know, for nosebleeds. Not bad for bad teams. Yeah. Well, actually, no, Oklahoma's not bad. But anyways, who do you got?
Oklahoma's not bad. I like Oklahoma in this one. They got a lot of good weapons. I think Oklahoma State has just been inconsistent. I mean, they've proved that with their record. But also, I don't know. But it is in Stillwater. This will be an exciting one. But give me Oklahoma to finish it at the end by 5. Win by 5.
So Oklahoma State started out their season. They had gone 0-8 in conference to start off their conference season. Since then, they are 3-2. Their only two losses coming to Baylor and to West Virginia. This is another game at home. It's Bedlam, and this team's playing a lot better now than they were the last time they played Oklahoma a few weeks ago. You know what? Give me Oklahoma State, baby. They're feeling hot. You know what I'm saying? They're back at the trap in Stillwater. It's gonna be crazy. Like Keeley, Lindy Waters is gonna play bad like they need them to. I'm going to Oklahoma State at home. Forget the Sooners.
This will be a good one.
Another big good one. And you know what's funny? That loss for Oklahoma would mean a lot more than it did for us. Because Oklahoma is actually a team that is a little bit they should be in, but they're a team that's actually more on the bubble than Tech is. You know what I mean? So this loss actually for Oklahoma would actually indeed be a pretty big one. So, we do have 17th ranked West Virginia at TCU. It's a home game for TCU. And best thing for TCU is because they're playing West Virginia, they don't have to worry about like 10,000 people invading their space.
That's fair. I still expect there to be a number of West Virginia fans though. West Virginia for me, they their last game. Let me just look up the final score. Basketball. Yeah, the last game they got. So something that I had mentioned earlier, I said West Virginia's not going to make it out of the first round if they can't learn to score. they have good defense, but if they can't learn to score, they're not going to make it out of the first round of the tournament. And I think they got into a lot better rhythm against Oklahoma State than they have been in the prior like three games. I mean, they only scored 65, but for a team with a defense like West Virginia, 65 is more than enough. And they proved that, you know. So I think that if they go in and have a similar shooting night that the way they did against Oklahoma State, I think West Virginia gets an easy win against TCU.
I think they get an easy win against TCU regardless.
They score 40 and still win?
Yeah, probably. I mean, TCU just ain't got it anymore, man. Talk about a team. And you know what sucks about them giving up is that they were actually fairly good halfway through conference season. Like they were at one point, yeah. It was like they were a shoe-in. And they were just like, all right, I'm gonna head out. You know, like they were just they have not the only game that they've won in this last stretch is the game against K-State at home. And mind you, we just talked about how K-State themselves have been sliding. So I don't really know what's going on with TCU at all. West Virginia, they should win this game they had a three-game skid, but I think they bounced back against Iowa State. They continue to bounce back against another bad team in TCU. Next up, a game that some people actually care about. Now, you know, it's not as big a game as Texas Tech at Iowa State, obviously. But number three Kansas at number one Baylor. Some people call it the game of the Big 12 century. I just call it, you know, the second best game of the week. Who you got in this one?
God, wait, time out.
I got a gear to grind. Okay, what the hell has ESPN done with the Big 12 scheduling this year? why is this game
is this
at
on
noon?
ESPN Plus?
This game is at noon. 11. It's at 11. That's crazy.
Man, I don't know.
They put the best games on ESPN Plus, and they finally got a game on ESPN, and it's at 11. Is college game day going to wake up? Because if they're not, they're dumb.
I think so, actually.
No, they can't be. Because right after college game day, they got to have a game. Like, who is deciding this?
Yeah, no, they're going. Yep, they're going.
It's just, oh my goodness. It just doesn't make any... It just
broadcast
doesn't.
10 to 11. Woo! Then they're going to have a game.
Yeah, so they can't even do a full broadcast because they have a game immediately. Like, it's just dumb. Yeah, God.
Hey, ESPN, man. You already knew what you were getting.
Anyways, who you got?
This is a difficult game to pick. Obviously, Kansas has the pedigree to go in and win. But Baylor has been playing well enough to continue winning in, what is it, the Big 12s? What'd they get? Longest win streak. I mean, that's impressive. I still think that Baylor is not the luckiest, but they're the least flashy number one team. I'll revise how I put it. They're the least flashy number one team I've seen ever. And it's not that long a time, but ever. Like, I don't remember. I mean, maybe Villanova a couple years ago, but even then.
Gonzaga's been number one before.
Gonzaga plays good basketball. They shoot the ball well. Baylor doesn't have any stars, and yet they're proving themselves week in and week out. And I am partial to pick Baylor in this game. It's in Waco. They got game day. The fans are already all for it, that's for sure. Scott Drew's an excellent coach. I think that Kansas maybe... I don't know how they're coming into this game. I don't know how you would. You can't overlook Baylor at any aspect of the floor because they're playing the best defense I think they've played in their existence as a program. And they're playing well. They're playing together. I mean, give me Baylor. It'd probably be close, but give me Baylor to close it out against the Jayhawks. And, I mean, how else are we going to snap that win streak? Well, I want to get the glory, so... they're going to beat Kansas.
Baylor beating Kansas. That's a good one. I mean, look, here's the funny thing about Baylor, though. So Baylor's number one team in the country. They're on a 24-game winning streak. Jeremy, do you think they win the national championship?
I don't know. Okay. My immediate thought is no.
But my point is that, though they're the number one team in the country, and everybody respects them as the number one team in the country. I don't think anybody is really saying that they don't deserve that number one ranking. But I don't know too many people that truly believe they're the best team in the country, right? And it's not like they're playing in a weak conference. Like when Gonzaga was the number one team in the country a few years back, you know, it was obvious that they're number one, but they're playing in the West Coast Conference. And there's been other times where you've seen a team like a San Diego State who's undefeated still. We are like, okay, yeah, but they're playing in the Mountain West. But Baylor's playing in one of the toughest. I mean, you know, Big 12 is a little down this year, but we're still a top-tier conference and won 24 straight games, yet nobody thinks they're the best team in the country. And I think it's because their offense, their defense is right up there with Tech's defense last year. I mean, it's incredible. But their offense is like Tech's offense 2 years ago, right? Like, it's just not great. They sometimes have games where they go on spurts and they do move the ball around well, but it's Kansas offensively is just a much better team in my opinion. And I've said all year that I haven't switched up. I've had Kansas as the best team in the country virtually the entire year. I've thought this, and I think this is the game that they prove it. I think this is the game that Kansas proves just how good they are. Where Kansas says, yeah, you got Baylor. Yeah, you got Gonzaga. You got San Diego State. But we're Kansas. We're the best team in the country. They're my pick right now to win the national championship. And I think they prove it here by beating Baylor. And not only that, if Baylor wins this game, they basically have the Big 12 championship in hand. They would then have...
It would be a lock for me.
Yeah, they'd have a two-game lead over the second-best team with games against Kansas State and TCU to go. Right, like so, they basically have a lock on the Big 12 championship if they beat Kansas, and Kansas knows that. And I think for Kansas, they got to beat Baylor to even have a chance at the championship of the Big 12. And I got Kansas in this one. I mean, think about this, Jeremy. For both teams, who's the best player like in this game period?
Dotson.
Who's the second best player in this game period?
Probably Azubuike.
Kansas has the two best players that are going to be on the court then.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So I just, hell, it wouldn't, if you told me that, my name is escaping me right now.
Chris Beard.
No, you're Jack.
Other Wagner. Names.
If you told me that Agbaji is the third best player on the court, I wouldn't argue with it. You know what I mean? So like that's the thing is that you look at it and say, man, Kansas is just so loaded, so talented. They also play really good defense, and they have the offense that Baylor just doesn't have, in my opinion. I gotta pick Kansas in this game. But you know what? If Baylor's already beaten Kansas, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying they're not a good team. But if Baylor goes out and beats Kansas, I think that'll be the first time I think that'll be the first time I say, you know what? This Baylor team's for real. They are legitimately probably the best team in the country. So, we'll see. We'll see. Anything you want to tell the people?
I think Tech's going to win.
Oh, crap.
Since we're not going to wrap up.
I really hope Dylan does edit that part out. Yeah. Game of the week. Best game everybody really cares about. Forget that number 3 versus number 1 matchup. Texas Tech, Iowa State.
Give me Texas Tech. Give me Texas Tech by a. Did you hear my voice? is there a Vegas lineup yet? I want to see. Dang. Man, to go into Ames, I mean, you said all the good points that I would just preach on is that it's in Ames, it's a road game on a Saturday, nighttime, 5 p.m. I want to say we're going to win. I believe that we're going to win. I'm speaking it into existence right now. The Texas Tech comes together, makes up for the weak play against Oklahoma State and Kansas State, and comes out defensively strong and puts away Iowa State early and then keeps it that way. My brain is telling me that that's probably not going to be the case. I think this is going to be a game that will be close. It'll feel unnecessarily close at the half, and then we will know somewhere in the middle part of the second half who's going to end up winning this game. Iowa State can come out shooting lights out, like they tried to against Kansas, and then we can't stop that. Or maybe we come out hot to trot and end up, you know, putting Iowa State away fresh out the gate. But I think that it's just such a toss up. So I'm just going, hey, Texas Tech.
You know you want to.
It's Texas Tech. It's Texas Tech.
Oh God.
It's Texas Tech.
You don't believe that?
I don't. But I feel like Iowa State's going to win this game. I really do. Yeah, we're due for one more game.
Dang, no balls.
I'm just trying to give you my thoughts.
Oh God, I'm gonna pick Tech because I'm real. Okay,
Tech's
actually gonna win. Tech's actually gonna win. No, but here's the thing. I feel the same way about the Iowa State game that I did before the Oklahoma State game, and so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I do think Tech's gonna win. I think the difference will be that TJ Holyfield doesn't find himself in foul trouble the entire game, right? Like, I think that's really the difference. If he's in foul trouble again, we may have a similar situation, but I don't think he will be. I think Oklahoma State is in a better position when we play them than Iowa State is right now after just getting, you know, blasted a little bit. So I'm gonna go Tech. I'm gonna go Tech to win by 8 on the road.
Great. Good. See? For you.
That's why I believe it. You picked Iowa State. Be real.
I did. Iowa State by 2.
There we go. Say it with your chest.
Iowa State by 2, and it sucks. But it's not a foul. It's not a foul problem. It's not a foul problem. This time it's just shooting.
Luckily for listeners of the Air Raid podcast that don't know, Jeremy is wrong a lot.
That's true.
Like, a lot. You're wrong a lot of the time. Like, mind you, Texas is probably going to win because you picked them to win or lose.
Yeah.
Last time you picked them to lose, they won.
Well, that's not true. I picked Iowa State to win last weekend.
Did you?
Dylan picked Texas to win in spite of me.
Well, y'all are both wrong a lot.
Yeah.
Y'all are both wrong. Only one guy can be right on this podcast.
That's true.
I've already taken that mantle. So.
Wrap it up, Albie. Let's go.
Anything you want to tell the people?
Enjoy it while you have it, because baseball season, I'm not going to watch it, but it's going to feel a lot better.
Man, baseball's lit right now. Your favorite team doesn't steal signs?
I can't relate.
I can't relate at all. Go Stros, baby. Dang, we some cheaters. But Texas Tech Raiders are not some cheaters. They win fair and square, and they're going to win the whole thing this year in baseball and basketball. You heard it here first. For Jeremy, this is Albie. You've listened to the Air Raid podcast. I'm going to be the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.